But anyhow, let's we want to pick up a couple of papers presented at ASCO. And this first one that Dan presented, I really recommend you check out the oral. Just go to the ASCO virtual meeting. It is really an awesome presentation. ARV-110, a protein degrader. Dan, can you just kind of talk a little bit? I love the graphics you presented there.
So this
talk
is
about what this is, PROTAC. So
this is a drug that was developed by Craig Cruz at Yale. It is an orally bioavailable PROTAC. What a PROTAC is, it's a molecule that will bind to a particular protein and accelerate its degradation through the E3 ubiquitin ligase pathway. And one of these PROTAC molecules can actually degrade up to 400 target proteins. So in this case, we took the androgen receptor. And this particular PROTAC will degrade everything except ARV7, and there's also a second mutation that is non-degradable as well. So there are two mutations that are not degraded. We did a standard phase one trial. We were able to show that there was downregulation of the androgen receptor. This was a patient who was treated at 280 milligrams 6 weeks after treatment. It was a repeat biopsy. As you can see on the right, there is less expression of the androgen receptor in the tissue. And in those patients who had actionable mutations, or at least degradable mutations, and also above 140 milligrams. And this was the dose that we felt was the magic dose, above which is where, correlating with the laboratory, we had activity. We had two patients, both of whom had a T878A and H78Y mutation, which is associated with both abiraterone and enzalutamide resistance. Both of these patients had PSA declines, and one of these patients had an objective soft tissue response. As you can see, that's almost complete resolution of that node, and his IVC, which has collapsed, is now patent. And that patient had a 97% reduction in PSA. So it's exciting. It's preliminary, and I will stress preliminary. We've got a lot of work to do to figure out exactly who's the right patient and, of course, whether we've got broader activity in other mutations as well. So I think that, small numbers, very small numbers, but a first target, first way of targeting a protein with the PROTAC.
So I was joking with Dan that this is prostate cancer's answer to fulvestrant and breast cancer. I know it's different, but the idea of getting rid of the receptor. Just finally,
there actually is a PROTAC that's being raised against estrogen. That's in clinical trials right now.
Awesome. So getting back to the other issue in terms of the lutetium PSMA, Rob, there's actually a randomized trial, and we've been hearing about this strategy for so long. It was in Europe for a while. Is this coming to the U.S.? Maybe you can just talk briefly about what this is, Rob, and what they presented there at ASCO.
Sure. Prostate-specific membrane antigen has been a target because it's pretty ubiquitous in prostate cancer. So for 25, 30 years, there have been diagnostic attempts and therapeutic attempts. This is a small molecule that targets PSMA and releases lutetium, which is a beta emitter. As you point out, there's data from colleagues in Australia and in Germany, which demonstrate anti-tumor activity and a relatively reasonable safety profile, although the data is very, very preliminary. You referred to the phase three registration trial, which is referred to as VISION, and that study has been completed, and I think many of us think we may see data later this year. There was a randomized phase two presented at ASCO comparing lutetium versus cabazitaxel, and it was kind of provocative. The endpoints are sort of not particularly clinically meaningful. My sense is that this is a real therapy. Again, I don't think this is a home run, but I think it's going to, I would be a little surprised, frankly, based on how the trial was conducted. The control arm was the alternative Abby-Enza flipover. So I would hope that we'll see, real meaningful benefit from this therapy. Again, it's, as you pointed out earlier when we were talking about radium, this is going to be administered by our nuclear medicine colleagues. And we're going to, for those of our colleagues who practice in the community, you're going to have to figure out how to work together with your nuke med docs because, medical oncology is going to have to oversee the care.
So a final comment from Chris. Curious where you think maybe this is going to land in the sequence of therapy metastatic disease. you think it might be given, say, before cabazitaxel, for example, in the CAR-D situation? And also, Chris, any comments on where PSMA imaging is going to lead to?
Two thoughts. One, I suspect, in all honesty, if the lutetium PSMA study is proven to be positive, we're up against modest control arm, it's going to probably replace radium. You don't have to worry about bone only versus other. The cabazitaxel study said it looked like it had more anti-cancer activity than cabazitaxel in the control, in the randomized phase two small study, but it looked like it had more anti-cancer benefit in a select patient population who had PSMA PET positive without discordant disease. So if you were PSMA PET positive in one lesion but FDG positive in another, you didn't go on the study. So there was some selection in that study. They had some selection in vision, so that's something we'll have to work out, and it's a topic for another day. But I'm very encouraged, and if it does come in, I suspect we would probably end up using it in patients with soft tissue and bone disease where we would be otherwise using radium. The PSMA PET imaging, it basically, bottom line is, we can see more cancer spots with PSMA PET imaging, whether it be the gallium or the other versions of it. We just don't know how to use it, actually. And I've got two concerns. One is, if you get a PSMA PET in a patient who has high-risk localized disease, conventional scan negative, and they have some disease beyond the pelvic lymph nodes, do not abort the local therapy. Treat them as high-risk. They're the micrometastatic patients who may actually benefit from the long hormones and the radiation and be cured. Do not abort just because they have some PSMA positivity where we know they have a survival benefit. The other scenario where I've seen a problem, rising PSA prostatectomy, PSA gets to 0.2, someone sends them off for a PSMA PET and they say, you know what, let's wait until your scan is positive before we give you your curative salvage hormone and radiation. Don't do that. The higher your PSA, the lower your curative rate. They're my words of caution. But it sees more cancer.
So I want to thank the faculty so much for tonight, and thank you all for attending.